Put your words down. Give 1-2 to Rabbi Donner Solomon.
Next to Jerusalem, this is the greatest place in the world to be. I'm overwhelmed by the sense of joy for Jerusalem I feel here. Let me tell you, I live in Haranot. Moved there about 22 years ago. At that time, in order to get from Haranot into Jerusalem, 10, 12 minutes I'd be in the center of town, King George, Keren HaYesod. Over the years, it's become far, far more difficult to make one's way into town. Day after day, I find myself battling traffic from Haranot into the center of town. There are two main streets that lead out of Haranot. One is Rehov Beit HaDfus. It's a one lane, very difficult to move. The other, very prophetically, is called Rehov Kanfei Nesharim, Wings of Eagles. There are now times of day that the only ones who can make it across Kanfei Nesharim are eagles. But we human beings and cars have a great deal of difficulty moving through that traffic. So as is the local custom, I'm getting ready for a little road rage. And there it is. I'm ready to put my hand down in a futile act of blowing my horn. And I think of 1267. In 1267, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman the Ramban arrived in Yerushalayim, and he found two Jews and their families living in that city. Two. They both worked as dyers. That's after a period of some 400 years that no Jews lived in Yerushalayim. They weren't permitted in. 200 years during which the Christians, the Crusaders, held Yerushalayim, and they permitted Jews once a year on Tisha B'Av to come up to Ha'azetim in order to be able to look down and see Harabayim. So Ramban arrives in Yerushalayim, and there it is. There are two people living in the city, two families. And then I think of 1488. In 1488, Rabbi Vadim Bar Tanura arrives in Yerushalayim. It is in Yerushalayim that he is going to write the classic commentary on Mishnah. In over 220 years, there are now 70 families living in Yerushalayim. That's about three apartment houses in Haranot. In 1869, Mark Twain arrives in Yerushalayim, and he describes the city as Jerusalem is mournful and dreary and lifeless. I would not desire to live here. And here it is, remember, I'm still caught in traffic. I'm having a difficult time making my way into town. And I imagine that the Ramban is sitting next to me in the car. And he looks around and he sees the masses of a blessed traffic jam in Yerushalayim. And he begins to talk like Yeshayahu. Su Einechem Uru. Take a look. Lift up your eyes. Look around. Where did they all come from? And the goal of Talmudai was alone. Nobody was here. Me yomadli es ela. What are they doing here? The words of Shagal, They're so powerful. They are so powerful. And here it is. I'm embarrassed. The Ramban is excited by looking at the streets of Yerushalayim. And I'm going to honk. I'm going to honk. Hashem Merachar. I'm, of course, having a little bit of I put Mark Twain in the back seat. He might be saying right then, you know, I wouldn't want to live here now, not with this traffic. We have to be able to take a look at Yerushalayim today and see the awesome fulfillment of the words of the prophets. It's an unbelievable city. I'll tell you the truth. It's not only the Ramban. Not only the Ramban in 1267. It's not only Rabbi Ovadia ben Bartzanura in 1488. Mark Twain in 1869. But gold arrives in 1956. To study in Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. And he comes to a little town. You could walk across Yerushalayim in 55, 56, in 25 minutes, maximum half an hour, you've traversed the whole city. But more than that, it was a city that was cut through the middle with barbed wire, ugly cement walls. If you knew somebody, he'd take you up on the top of the roof someplace and tell you, look there and down. Someplace there is the Kotel. It was a sorrowful, mournful city in 1955 and 56. For 19 years, between 1948 and 1967, there was an ugly equation in the world. Two cities divided by barbed wire and walls. Berlin and Lahavdil Elef Alfei Halafim Havdolos Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. On the 28th of Iyar, Yom Yerushalayim 1967, the walls that divide Yerushalayim in half and no longer the ugly, no longer the ugly equation. Celebration means that we have to be able to appreciate as much as we can by imagining and understanding the history of this city. We have to be able to realize what it is that God has wrought for us. Does everybody get it? Does everybody feel like us? Is everybody out there celebrating Yom Yerushalayim? Unfortunately, it's not so. Not everybody gets it. Rav Kook once expressed it in one way. The Gemara says, "Kol ha-mitavel al Yerushalayim, whoever mourns for Yerushalayim, zoche v'ro'eh v'simchata, will merit that he will see the joy of Yerushalayim." Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, asked, the Gemara should have said, "Kol ha-mitavel al Yerushalayim, whoever mourns for Yerushalayim, will merit to see Binyana, the city rebuilt." He says, no. There may be many people who see the city rebuilt, but not all are going to sense and feel the joy, the happiness, and the elation. Those who mourn for her will feel the joy. Those who cared about her, those who love her, will be ecstatic at the joy of a rebuilt and a united Yerushalayim. There's a medrash also that expresses it. That's a medrash that always troubled me. I didn't understand it. But maybe the medrash knew a great deal more than we do. Reb Shmuel Vanachmeni says, Masoret HaGadah. It is a tradition. She'ein Yerushalayim Ibnet Yerushalayim is not rebuilt until all the exiles are going to be gathered in. And im yom alecha adam, if a man is going to say to you, the exiles have already come back, and it comes to kol hagaliyot, they're all back, then Yerushalayim is made, and Yerushalayim hasn't been rebuilt. Al tamen, don't believe him. What does he mean? It means that there are people who can see a Yerushalayim humming with life, bursting with creativity, and there are people who just don't get it. They don't see the great miracle. They don't see the act of God. Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem Nidchei Yisrael Yechaneis. How does God build Yerushalayim? He builds Yerushalayim by gathering in the exiles. Alright? We appreciate. We're full of joy. We realize we have that sense of history. We know that we have merited in our time that which our grandparents and great-grandparents 2,000 years of Jews prayed for. Is Yerushalayim safe? Is this the way it's going to be? Or is it possible that if we finally made it to 40 years, we have to keep hoping that we're going to make it another year and another year? Yeshayahu said it. When we return, ufochad v'rochad levavech, there will be mixed emotions. There's going to be an underlying fear. Pachad. At the same time, there's an expansive feeling of joy. Maybe it can also be expressed, the idea that I want to say now can be expressed. Here it was. I was at a kiddush a few weeks ago. I was at a kiddush in Harnof, and I met Benji Levine, old friend. We live in Harnof just because we live in the same neighborhood. Doesn't mean you see people all the time. He lives down at the bottom. I live up at the top. Here was a kiddush in between the top and the bottom. So I met him at the kiddush. I told Liz, I'm going to be in Los Angeles. Young Yerushalayim, tell me something. What did you say to do of Ari Levine, the great Tzaddik Yerushalayim? She said, Shalom, I got to tell you, I was in Yerushalayim that day. And my Zayda gets a hold of me and he says, I want to go to the Kotel. He says, there was still shooting in the city. And he's making his way through town with his Seder. When he comes to the Kotel, his Seder says to him, help me tear kriya. The halacha is when you see the Kotel, after a period of time of not having seen it, you tear, sign of mourning. So he says, I helped my Seder tear kriya. And as soon as he finished tearing kriya, he said, with great joy, the bracha shehachiyonu v'kimonu v'higiyonu lazman zeh. Yerushalayim inhabits both of those. There is concern and there is fear, and at the same time there's great joy. Of course, make no mistake, there are forces in the world that want to wrest Yerushalayim from us. There are mighty and powerful forces in the world that want to tear the city away from us. The most painful part of it all, painful, the battle for Yerushalayim still rages now. And in that battle,
It is Jew pitted against Jew. There are those amongst us who will divide Yerushalayim. Anybody who says that he's in favor of a two-state solution is saying that he will divide Yerushalayim. He will take Eim Habanim Smecha and cut her in half. A mother would not cut her child in half. But there are those who can plan and think and dream that they'll tear Yerushalayim in half, and that's going to bring peace. I'm haunted by a letter to the editor in the Jerusalem Post. This must have been 4 or 5 years ago. A woman by the name of Pam Goldstein from Windsor, Ontario. She works on a college campus. And this was after Mr. Sharon had announced that he was going to pull out of Gaza and the West Bank. So a lot of the Arab students had a victory party after that announcement was made. They had a victory party to celebrate their success in destroying Israel. According to one Arab political student, Israel's destruction started in 1967, when Moshe Dayan returned to the Waqf, the keys to the Temple Mount. He said, "It was obvious to all of us then that we wanted the land more than the Jews. They returned their so-called most religious site. What fools! It was merely a matter of time before we weakened them even more." I replied that a lot of people viewed Dayan's act as one of compassion. The students laughed. And there are still those amongst us who are ready to divide the city in half. The greatest desecration of God's name that can ever be. And therefore, yes, we celebrate, but our celebration is also a celebration of Ufahad V'Rahav Levaveh. Fear and an expanse of heart. And our celebration is a celebration of Rav Arye Levin. Yes, of Shechiyanu, and fear that we may have to tear Kriya again. You don't hear many of our political leaders saying what Dr. Agustin said earlier. Yerushalayim will remain forever united under Israeli sovereignty, the kind of line that any politician who wanted to get an audience to cheer, that's what he said. They don't say it. They don't say it. Which means, therefore, part three. Part one was that celebration requires that we appreciate the great gift that was given to us by God. I feel that here. Part two, celebration requires a sober look at what the reality in the world is. And that reality is a scary one. Which brings us to three, and the final aspect of celebration. Celebration of Yom Yerushalayim must of necessity mean a rededication to our commitment to Yerushalayim. It means a rededication to the oath that was taken at the rivers of Babylon in Eshtachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. The Malbim says there are three oaths that were taken. If I forget you, Yerushalayim, let my right hand forget its cunning. That is an oath that we will act. The hand acts. I will work on behalf of Yerushalayim. Tidbak l'shamil chikim loes kereshim, let my tongues cleave to the palate of my mouth. If I don't remember you, is an oath that we will speak out on behalf of Yerushalayim. Fearlessly. Leman Tzion lo echesel leman Yerushalayim lo eshkot. I will not remain silent for Yerushalayim. I will not hide behind, well, I stand behind whatever is the decision of the democratically elected government of the state of Israel, not with regard to Yerushalayim. The commitment to Yerushalayim has to be a commitment of passion. Nobody has the right to touch Yerushalayim. A
few years ago, I was together with a few other rabbis, I was invited to the sukkah of Rabbi Avraham Shapiro. Rabbi Avraham Shapiro, Rabbi Shiva Merkel Sarav, former chief rabbi, one of the most courageous fighters for Eretz Yisrael today. The meeting that day in his sukkah was because the prime minister at the time, Benjamin Netanyahu, was on his way for the Y plantation talks in the United States. I asked permission to say a few words to the Prime Minister. All I did was I told him a medrash. A medrash? Oh, remember this medrash. The medrash says that on the day of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, God comes to Yirmiyahu and he says, "Where are my friends? Where are those who love me? Where are my children? Who will cry with me on this terrible day?" God tells Yirmiyahu, "Go and bring before me, wake them up, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov." Yirmiyahu immediately goes l'ma'arat ha'machpelah and listen to the medrash. He says to the Avot Ha'olam, he says to the fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, "Imdu, arise. Shehigi azman shetam atemid vakshim usneh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the time has arrived that you are being called to stand before God." On the low, they said to Yirmiyahu, "Lama, why?" Amalehem, he said to them, "Eini yodea, I don't know." Wait, that was really the truth. And the Medrash tells us, "Mipnei shehoyo mityadei." You know what he was afraid of? Shelo yomru lo, that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov should not say to him these four terrible words. Biyometa haita libaneinu zot. In your days, this is what happened to our children. I told the Prime Minister I had always thought that the judgment of history, how will our grandchildren judge us? What will the next generation say about what we did? The judgment of history comes later on. You know what the Medrash is saying? We are judged instantly, now, because 3,500 years of Jews, they're the ones who are going to judge us. Do any one of us want to be asked the question, Biyomecha haita liYerushalayim zot? This happened in your days to Yerushalayim? We cannot sit by and wait that, well, time will pass, maybe future generations will judge us kindly. Anna, the buck stops with us right here and now. So that those of us who truly celebrate Yom Yerushalayim, those of us who appreciate and understand, those of us who are going to say Hallel tomorrow, those of you who are part of a community, who 100,000 of your young people davened this morning in Yerushalayim at the Kotel. Later this afternoon, there will be tens of thousands who are going to dance with flags through the streets of Yerushalayim. All the gates of the city are open, and the Akiva and the Yeshivat has there. All of them are going to make their way into Yerushalayim. It's one of those beautiful scenes of all. The ones who appreciate are the ones who have to have and will naturally have the deep concern for Yerushalayim. So that we have to rededicate ourselves, yes? thought, word, deed, I dedicate myself to Yerushalayim. L'man Tzion lo echeshe, l'man Yerushalayim lo eshkod. I'd like to tell you how I define you or us. We're all part of the same community, the religious Zionist community. Ish Yehudi Hayo B'Shushan Habira. There was a Jew in Shushan Habira whose name was Mordechai, the son of Yoel, the son of Kish, Ish Yemini, a man from the tribe of Binyamin. And the Gemara says, well, what was he from? Was he Ish Yehudi means he's from the tribe of Yehuda. Ish Yemini means he's from the tribe of Binyamin. What was he? The Gemara gives a number of answers. I want to say the following. Ish Yehudi, there was a Jew, Talmud Chacham, Shomer Torah U'Mitzvos, one who espoused Torah, one who taught it, one who supported it, a pillar of Torah in his generation. Ish Yehudi Hayav Bishushan Habira, and his name was Mordechai ben Yoel ben Shimi ben Kish. Ish Yemini, one Jew, walked the streets of Shushan, who remained faithful 70 years later to the oath of Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. That's the Ish Yemini. You know what Mordechai is? Ish Yehudi, Torah, Mitzvahs, Yeshivas. Ish Yemini, Eretz Yisrael, Bnei Akiva, Yeshivat Hesder. The balance, the greatness of Mordechai was that balance. He encompassed and he embraced it all. That's exactly what we are, and that's exactly what we have to continue to be. And be fearless. Be fearless. Be uncompromising with regard to Yerushalayim. No change dare ever be made. No one, under any circumstances. We have to make sure that as Yerushalayim remained faithful to us, no people were ever able to take root there, only the Jewish people. Because Yerushalayim remained faithful to us for 1900 years. The least that we can do is remain faithful to her throughout the rest of history. And therefore, when we say Hallel tomorrow morning, David HaMelech knew exactly how one is supposed to feel at a moment of great joy. We're going to say, Zehayom Osa Adonai Nogilo V'Nismachavo, this is the day that God has made. It's all His work. We will be full of joy on that day. And immediately afterwards, Ono Hashem Oshi Ono, we have it, but we're frightened. We're concerned, we're worried. On our Hashem Oshiyana. You know what David HaMelech is saying? Rabbi Ari Levine, tearing Kriya and saying Shehiyana. So that we have to rededicate ourselves to become fighters. We are now the ones, Al Chomotayach Yerushalayim, Hizkadet Yishomrim, they are the guardians of Yerushalayim. We're the guardians of Yerushalayim. We are the ones that have to know that we have made a commitment and we're going to keep that commitment. We want never ever to be in the position that Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov should ask us, B'yomecha hayta la'ir hazot, in your days this is what happened to this city? God forbid. Never. So therefore we're going to say it. We celebrate Yom Yerushalayim because we appreciate it. We are zocher to see the simcha of Yerushalayim. And we are concerned about Yerushalayim. And we are going to stand by Yerushalayim. That's the ultimate commitment that we make. Rabbi Tani, Chag Sameach.